Hey, it's Michael Harlan Turkell, your host for The Food Scene on Heritage Radio Network. I'd like to thank my sponsor, Whole Foods Market. Proud to support the independent farms and small businesses in our communities. Here's what's fresh in their produce departments this week. Note availability is subject to change. From New York, yellow plums, sugar plums, red onions, sour cherries. From New Jersey, peaches, green peppers, eggplant, cucumbers, leeks, shiitake mushrooms, spinach, arugula, red and green leaf lettuce, radishes, green and yellow squash, mint, sunflowers, and orchids. From Connecticut, currant juice and assorted sprouts. That sounds delicious. That's a lot of beautiful local things at your Whole Foods Market, so stop by and taste the bounty today. Today, I'd like to introduce the Shays, David and Laura, owners, chefs, front of the house, everything at Applewood in Park Slope. That's applewoodny.com, right?
That's it.
Cool. Plugging you. You can tell us as much information as you want, and we'll put it right there on the site. It's on the corner of 7th Avenue, 11th Street. What's the exact address?
It's 501 11th Street.
You say that a lot, don't you?
I do. Yeah.
David and Laura had a really profound effect on me. I think it was literally like a couple weeks into moving in Brooklyn. Fresh out of art school, got my BFA in photography, still wanted to cook, had kind of cooked my way through school, that they were nice enough to let me in the kitchen for a quick little stage. And David says to me, "Man, why are you cooking if you can photograph?" Like, what are you doing here? You got your BFA. You could be doing something much better.
And now you do.
Yeah, I may have been a horrible cook too, but he's not going to necessarily grade me on that today. But I haven't had to go back to cooking. Not that that's a bad thing, but my photography career oddly started enough at Applewood. Not just because of that, but the first back of the house I shot for Edible Brooklyn was Applewood. And I think that was in like 2005.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I lived around the corner, so I've known you for quite some time. So
I didn't realize we were your first.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So it's about time that you guys are on the show. Thank you for being here. I just want to read you a little excerpt from Applewood's website. They say that we use only sustainably fish, seafood, hormone and antibiotic free meats and poultry, and all our beef comes from grass finish, humanely treated animals we purchase from small local farmers almost exclusively. Now that's a mantra for a lot of restaurants these days, the whole local sustainable slant. But what's even more interesting about Applewood and the Shays is that it's a family restaurant. And I don't mean family themed like there's a ball pit, you know, and a giant mouse dressed up to entertain the children, but family in that they've actually raised and weaned a family within the confines of the restaurant, within the walls, ideologically. Their daughters, Sophie and Tatum, grew up in the restaurant, literally grew up in the restaurant. There's a back room that was converted for them to actually spend time after school. There was a cot there too, right?
There was a futon, queen size futon.
A bedroom.
Yeah. Sure. So, I mean, it was literally a home away from home for people that only lived, a block away from the restaurant.
Yep.
But those walls were, you know, that, like I said, that home away from home. And when I say ideologically, they were telling me a little bit before that Sophie has turned into a little bit of a food snob.
A little bit.
Yeah. So, but that they're in line with similar ideals and understandings about food that you are. And I just want to thank you for championing that, because I think that's an extraordinary thing. But wanted to kind of talk about how it all started 6 years ago. Sophie was what? About three? Tatum was...
Not yet with us, really.
Tatum was born 3 weeks after we opened Applewood.
Yeah. How was it? I mean,
if you laid out the way we opened Applewood now in front of me and said, "Is this a good idea?"
No,
this is not a good idea. Are you crazy? I mean, I remember we were in the basement folding laundry 3 weeks after Applewood had opened. And Laura informed me that this was, in fact, the new child was on the way.
Yeah.
I mean, it's midnight on a Thursday night. I'm trying to finish up after work, and we're about to have a baby. It was
Yeah, but labor had to wait. There was stuff to do.
There was stuff to do. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Wait, do you mean labor of folding the napkins or labor? So
no, that couldn't wait.
Yeah.
No. No, but yeah, it was a terrible idea. It wasn't an idea. It wasn't the plan. It wasn't, you know, it was the way it happened. We found a space. We knew that we wanted to open a place. We knew the kind of place we wanted to open. We'd looked at some spaces, found the one that conveniently was two blocks from where we live, but also just aesthetically was perfect and the price was right, and we had worked it all out, and I happened to then have gotten pregnant, and you know, as serendipity would have it, I got bigger as the place got painted, and you know, and I had neighbors coming by. I'd be standing on a ladder 85 months pregnant hanging a sign or something, and people were just like, I disapprove you know, of everything you're doing.
The food's delicious here. Yeah. Can you tell?
Just you
this
wait.
Is not
You'll
a pregnancy.
See. Yeah, I'm not pregnant. I'm humongously fat. Yeah.
But it was great. I mean, it is. It is our family, and it is what we do, and no matter how many people may or may not have said this is not the way to do it, or you shouldn't be polyurethaning that while you're pregnant, or all of these sorts of things, Tatum's fine.
Yeah.
As much as we can tell, and and the restaurant is really born of that. It is a great deal of work, as any restaurant is, obviously, for everybody that's involved, and a lot of sacrifice and a lot of commitment. But you know, to have Tatum in a 100-degree kitchen as a 3-month-old baby sitting there in a bouncy chair, smiling and being
one
happy,
of my fondest memories
is a pretty fantastic experience and a pretty fantastic memory. And certainly not anything that I could have compared it to as a cook in my career prior. There had never been a baby in any kitchen I worked in, certainly.
Yeah, it's considered dangerous.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an extra set of hands. They can do, like, the little work.
So. Tiny little
it's
fingers.
Like munitions guns during the war, you know.
But, I mean, that was one of the fondest moments I had of being in your kitchen initially, seeing Tatum literally there on the counter in a bouncy chair while people are doing prep work and rocking her. And it's not like she was just there because there was room, but people cared that she was there, and we're looking to foster her as well because the greater part of your restaurant, the kitchen staff, the front of the house staff, is also family, as it should be in every restaurant. And this is me wagging my finger at people that don't.
He's literally wagging his finger.
Yeah, verify. But you know, the fact that people are working there because they not only want to work with you, work with your food, but work within this family unit. Some of your employees have been with you for God
from
knows
the beginning.
How long. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pedro.
Pedro is the lone holdout.
Yeah.
But I mean, recently, really recently, a couple of people left after being there for close to 4 years.
This is a shout out to Guillermo.
Yes.
Yeah,
PJ.
All the way up in Canada.
Yeah.
And Freddie.
But you know, but people do stay longer than in other restaurants that I've certainly been a part of. So I think a good place to work, you know, and we have a great client base too.
Yeah.
You know, and that's when you have a product like our product, it makes it easier to be a server, certainly.
Yeah.
And when the menu changes every day, it's easier to be a cook. Everything stays interesting. You can vouch for your product. It's
well, let's talk a little about your product, because what I find so lovely too are the Meet the Farmers dinners, which is thusly extending your family network, because these aren't people that you just use as purveyors, producers, etc. These are people you invite into your second home, your restaurant, to show what they can do for you, what they, you know, bring to the table, to the plate.
Absolutely.
But that, you know, likewise,
become part of the
family. Yeah, completely.
I mean, several of them have actually become like friends who we vacation with. You
know
what I mean? Like,
such as who?
Well, Sean Whalen.
Yeah. Sean Whalen from Poor Farm in Chester, Vermont.
We adopted him a few years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
what
and
does he supply for you?
Sean is organic produce. He makes hard cider.
Yeah.
He, there's some unmentionables, but the other things we can talk about are pork and lamb.
And lamb and pork, yeah, exactly. He brings eggs. He has friends who we also know, Oliver and Lucy, that work at a dairy up there. We get a lot of amazing milk from them.
We've gone and stayed at Ridge's place.
Ridge and of Hardwood
Ridge
Beef.
Ridge is an extraordinary person. I don't know that Apple would be what it is without Ridge.
Yeah, let's talk a little more about him, because I actually came to his Meet the Farmers.
And we're doing another one with him on August 3rd.
August 3rd. Yeah. Get your tickets now if they're not sold out.
There you go. We have a few spots left, but not a lot.
Yeah. But I mean, his beef, I mean, he was one of the first to champion grass-fed, grass-finished beef in the country.
He's still one of the only true grass-finished beef proponents. I mean, he takes it to the level of DNA, though, because
Well, yeah, I mean, I think to us at Applewood, I mean, beef is sort of the cornerstone of a lot of what we base our philosophy on, in that there are a lot of really high-name, high-profile chefs out there that are on the local, sustainable... I don't want to say bandwagon, but I guess
you have to.
But
are not buying.
But they still use beef that's eaten grain. To Laura and myself, it's I just don't get it. We don't get that disconnect where this beef is. People, I've had arguments with people. Well, you can't eat grass-fed beef. It doesn't taste good. And I defy anyone to try Ridge's product.
I'm on that bandwagon, defying anybody. I've tasted this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, we don't serve anything else.
But it is, because he's been doing this for 15 years. He's been working at it. They have it down to breeding and genetics and all of this.
And can I just say, it's not about the fat content and the marbling. It's about the humanity. You can't feed a cow grain.
And all the stuff comes after, too. I mean, because there is the fat content and marbling.
There's all of that, absolutely. Yeah. But, I mean, where we're coming from is the position of a cow is a ruminant and it can't digest grain. And so you give a cow grain, the cow becomes ill.
Yeah.
It necessitates the use of antibiotics, but not if you do it at the very end.
Yeah,
you can hurt the cow for a little bit at the end for the sake of more
a window of opportunity.
Yeah. I mean, the conscious decision to make an animal sick doesn't work for us.
And he is a Hopewell Repro, right? Hopewell Reproduction is...
Bakewell. It's Bakewell Repro, but it's Hardwick beef.
Yeah, so there's a lot of interesting information on Bakewell about, you know, those processes and what happens with grain and versus grass. So.
And if you even just go to the hardwickbeef.com, there's a link to Bakewell.
Yeah.
So you can see all of that as well.
Oh, we have a question from Priscilla and Chetta, and she'd like to
Boots. It's my friend Boots.
When are you opening up Applewood in Seattle?
Oh, you know what? I will be right there. Yeah. We've had people ask us, well, you know, when are you coming to the Upper West Side?
We can't manage to get out of Park
Slope. I'd have to get pregnant again. Yeah. We'd have to recreate the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's what's so fantastic about the idea of family, that you're not, you know, overstretching your means or bounds or spreading yourself too thin. I mean, you're there, you're part, a fixture of the community now, but, you know, they see how a family has grown within a restaurant and how it supports other families outside of that restaurant. And
we're supported by a family, you know, you think of the community as a family and, you know, faces and people that come all the time to Applewood.
Yeah. It's, because speaking of expanding, like, is that a hard thing to even consider, you know, having a Seattle restaurant or having, is it Brooklyn for life? Is it?
I think, no. I mean, for us, it's just that Applewood is what it is. And I think we both agree that in its success is so much about that family, myself and Laura, but everybody else, too. And it is this place that I think is pretty special. But
even we've talked about it being more, it's become sort of more of a philosophy. Like, it could exist anywhere if our rent... If we couldn't afford our rent anymore, I think we would continue doing what we're doing. But I guess our goal would be to reach more people, because we would like the Meet the Farmer dinners, which are great. And I mean, you know, so you've got an evening dedicated to one farmer, this tasting menu built all around one person's things. And then you get to meet this farmer who gets to talk about things that maybe you don't know about. Maybe you're preaching to the choir, whatever it is. But you have these nights where I look around and I think, what if we could fit 200 people in here instead of 45, you know? And so the idea of maybe taking it out and where we could grow our own things too would be really,
But
that would be the best next thing for us.
But I mean, that's almost thinking of it like extended family, and you only invite so many of those to the events.
That's true too.
Yeah. But I mean, I want to talk a little more about a few of your farmers too that you find so dear, Jeffrey Frank and Chris and Illick of Liberty Gardens.
They're amazing.
And what do they bring into the restaurant?
Almost all the produce we serve.
Yeah,
they've really stepped into a role where they do the lion's share of our produce. And it's amazing because they farm 3 acres outside of Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. And we're not the exclusive buyer of their product, but They're a husband and wife. They decided they wanted to be farmers. They do it in a sustainable, organic fashion, and they produce this absolutely beautiful stuff in a small amount of land. And you know, no vast stretches of corn and grain and soybeans as far as the eye can see. It's a tiny little place that really, I mean, produce some
really amazing stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, for us too, the philosophy of the restaurant, and I think of what local sustainable is all about, is just how good the product is.
Yeah.
I mean, the arugula comes in, and you can smell it from like across the dining room. The crates come in and just like, yes.
Yeah.
We are eating that tonight.
July in the Northeast is pretty sweet.
Yeah.
And it's
about as good as it gets. Yeah. But the beautiful lettuces, beautiful everything.
Yep. Yep. And they're good people. I mean, you know, again.
At the end of the day, that's.
And that's what it comes down to.
So, it's that family thing.
That family thing. And we're going to take a break on that note. What a wonderful segue to give to me. And talk a little bit more about family, about farms, and the fun that's happening at Applewood.
All the ups. Yeah.
Welcome back to The Food Scene on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Michael Harlan Turkell. I'm here today with David and Laura Shea, chefs, owners of Applewood Restaurant in Brooklyn, New York. That's applewoodny.com. We were just recently talking about a couple of the farms / family friends of theirs that bring in the wonderful produce and bounty of the Northeast during these fantastic months of July. And we left off at Jeffrey Frank and Kristen Illick about how they, quoting you, lion's share of, the greens and garniture and vegetables come in. We have Lydia Ratcliffe from Lovejoy Brook Farm in Andover, Vermont.
A force with which to be reckoned.
Indeed. Yeah, no, Lydia is...
The matriarch of female farming in the Northeast?
Yeah, I mean, in Vermont, I mean, if anybody that's growing animals up in, you know, the Northeast knows Lydia for sure. She's amazing. I mean, she has an exacting standard to which she demands people that work with her and her co-op live up to. And
so we'll get our pigs, our goat, our lamb from Lydia, rabbits,
veal.
Yeah.
All in their whole form. Lydia's great, and she sources all of this stuff, and it's either from her farm or from nearby farms.
Yep.
But she'll try and branch out and work with other chefs, and we'll frequently get calls from her from, you know, some young chef in the city didn't understand that, you know, there's not some magical lamb that's made entirely up of loin, and, you know, can we take...
Really?
Can we
have a loin lamb?
And can we take... Yeah. You know, this four quarter, can we take this thing? Can we take this other, you know?
I thought that's what meat glue was for.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so we've occasionally been the recipient of things we didn't need either.
Absolutely. Just, we try and always say yes. That's
just
true.
To support, again, going back to supporting the farmer and doing the right thing.
And unwittingly, maybe I've used the word matriarch, which ties back into our family theme.
Oh, and it happened.
Thank you for that. Bernie the pig farmer. Omloff Family Farm in New Hampshire.
Bernie's a pig man.
Yeah.
He's all pig. In fact, we have a farmer dinner with Bernie
in October.
Yeah.
In October, yeah. I mean, he works with Lydia as well. He's part of that co-op. I mean, he drove down some animals last week for Lydia, and I got to look at some of his pictures, and his front yard, I mean, it's you know, you talk
everywhere.
About free range. I mean, yeah. It's pigs in the front yard, up like in his wife's flowers. He was joking about the picture, like, oh God, here we go. You know, there's a horse strolling across the front lawn, cows. I mean, it's a part of life. It's a part of the whole.
It's kind of like that movie Homeward Bound, but they are all made at home already.
And they're all there.
Yeah, they're just bound, homebound.
But that's actually funny too, because Lydia is. You know, the way that we get these whole animals is one of her farmers drives them down once a week. And that's actually how we've met a couple subsidiary farmers like Sean Whalen and Bernie. We know because of the fact that they walk in with animals thrown over their shoulders.
And usually when you get meats from distributors from places like Dairyland, et cetera, you have a delivery guy. Right. You're never seeing the producer.
And it comes with your seed folds and your canola oil.
Yeah.
But no, this is a guy with an animal who probably knew the animal's name, or at least, you know.
Yeah. But what's so inspired, too, is that you have this person mediating, Lydia, sending farmers in her collaborative co-op, whatever you call it. And you can call it do her dirty work in a sense, you know, deliver these things. But it's really to grow this network of interested people, of, you know, like-minded personas.
And well, I think that just happens organically because we're all bent the same way.
Yeah.
Well, it is too. I mean, it's part of, and it's something that we talk about, or I guess I talk about at the farmer dinners, is this community that is established, and not just within Applewood, obviously, or not just within Park Slope or our neighborhood of customers, but extending it to growers and people that are harvesting or the people that drive the product. It is all very, very connected.
Yeah.
And we're really grateful and lucky to be a part of such a, you know, vibrant and excited and energized community here in the Northeast. You know, it makes our jobs, it certainly makes my job as a cook exceedingly easy.
Yeah. And you were mentioning before about, you know, there's sort of this movement toward more of it, which I think is great.
Yeah.
That there's more and more places opening up that, even if they're not doing it exactly the way we're doing it, at least they're thinking about it, making choices, and they may choose to, you know, serve that burger that isn't grass finished, but maybe they're putting local arugula on it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Maybe it's starting, and we're seeing it more and more, which
and, you
is
know,
really nice.
What is outside of the box in this whole local sustainable thing is that you haven't defined local as a New York State.
You can't, really. I mean, you can. Of course you can. But there's so much.
Yeah.
And like, if we could just move to Vermont tomorrow or Massachusetts, there's so many amazing people so close doing great things.
Well, it's kind of like when family, you know, moves out of the house or family moves away, you still keep connected and you want to bring them back to your house. And another person on the list who is also a Brooklyn resident of sorts, but then goes fishing in Alaska.
Our buddy Christopher.
Yes. Yeah, Christopher Nicholson.
He's one of the best people you could ever
meet.
What's
his fish farm called again? His
Iliamna.
Iliamna. Some of the sickest. And sickest, I mean, amazing.
In a good way.
Yeah. Like
by
dope
sick,
or
I mean
deaf.
Bad.
Yeah. Salmon you've ever tasted. And because he also is the resident winemaker at
Red Hook
Winery.
Yep.
I mean, that's a great
example, I think, too, of you know, his salmon come from Alaska, and people, we've done farmer dinners with him, and people have all, you know, asked, well, what gives your, you know, local philosophy, how do you reconcile that with buying fish from this guy? But you take it to the next place where it's, well, this is Christopher. He's an amazing person.
Yeah.
And it's
have you
in
met
this
him? Yeah. Exactly.
You know, and the fish is special. The way they do it is special. I mean,
and the love that he has for it.
Exactly.
Is just,
I mean, it's third
contagious.
Generation, yeah. Fourth generation.
Third generation fisherman, and he is Brooklyn.
Yeah.
You know, and he goes and he gets it and he brings it back to us, and
these are people you don't just want to invite into your restaurants, but your home. I mean,
yeah, no, they're the best family,
yeah.
And
I got a voicemail actually for Christopher up in Alaska.
Oh, nice.
You know, just checking in.
And
you
everybody
know, fishing with his extended family, his cousins, his kids, his wife. Everybody's there.
Family.
Yeah. The family is fishing together.
Yeah.
It's great. I mean, it is. It's a special thing. It really is.
Yeah. Which flows us into the apropos named Life as You Know It documentary that was taped a couple years ago. Who specifically was it for?
It was, we were contacted, and I still to this day can't remember why, but this woman, Christina Robbins Higgins, is a filmmaker out in California.
Yeah.
And somebody somehow mentioned her to us because she was entering a contest sponsored by Audi. That was supposed to be a 15-minute documentary that sort of encapsulated a trend or a movement. Is that right?
Yeah.
That was, of that moment.
And different filmmakers brought their different ideas.
Right. And her idea was couples who have careers that they're entrenched in and then decide to start families. And rather than giving up their careers, they figure out how to incorporate their careers and their family into one sort of machine that works together. And so we were one of the four families that she chose, and it was very sweet, and it's a nice little sort of movable photo album for us because Tatum was just about a year, I think, and still fat and sitting around the restaurant, or she wasn't even a year, she was like 6 months old, I think.
I mean, but a great picture into the life of that restaurant of Applewood and the kids there. And like you mentioned, Michael, before, sort of everybody caring about Tatum and Sophie and sort of, Laura tells a story about seeing one of the prep cooks with Tatum sort of dancing her around.
He was mopping with her on his back.
Getting her to sleep.
Yeah.
And getting her to take a nap. And just that love that everybody had for each other, you know, I mean, it breeds, it's not just because they're kids, it's because it was a good place and they're good people. And, it's a great extended family.
Yeah.
Really lucky to
and
be a part of it.
Where could people see that, documentary?
It's called Life as You Know It. And I think we found it once, her website is DoubleDog.com.
Productions. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the name of her production company.
Yeah.
It's been up there. I think it's still up there.
So have you seen it recently, and how does it contrast?
I watched it once
now?
About 6 months ago after not having seen it in like 3 years.
Yeah.
And I was so embarrassed.
Why?
Because I walked around for the first 7 months or 8 months of her life with Tatum in a sling.
Yeah.
In the dining room, serving food, and I was vilified widely.
Yeah.
For this, mind you.
The blogosphere.
Were you breastfeeding while dropping the plate off?
I was never doing that.
Yeah.
Although not if you look on the internet, I was breastfeeding everywhere.
Yeah.
So people either loved it or they hated it, and the people that hated it really hated it. Like, I don't got to dinner to see this, that kind of thing. Well, when I watched it again, I was like, oh my God, I can understand that now.
Yeah.
That was really weird. I was walking in the dining room with a baby. Who wants that? You know. But then there were the people who came back because of it.
Yeah.
You know, and then to this day, quite honestly, on any given night, somebody will say, how's the baby?
Yeah.
Like, well, she's six.
Yeah.
You know? she's fine, but she's...
She's not a baby.
No.
So
she's
much
bigger than me.
Yeah. And she's en route, right, to the studio?
She is. I'm guessing that she's timing it just to get pizza and to miss the possibility of you asking her any questions.
Yeah, we're trying to twist Tatum's arm to appear on air, but she was worried about me asking her questions of what it was like to be a baby. She responded, I don't know.
I don't remember.
I was a baby.
What do you want from me?
Where's my pizza?
So the pizza diva will be here soon.
Yes, the pizza diva will be here soon.
You know, what is amazing is that things really haven't changed that much, you know, with the idea of the restaurant, with the people that have come in the restaurant and supported it, that it was pretty grounded and pretty well established when you guys opened up. What have you had to change? What have you had to finagle to make it more right, to make it more sound for the community? Or has it just been...
Very little. I mean,
I think for ourselves to we talk about sustainability in farming and in growing and things, but there also has to be sustainability in your life. And sort of giving, for me in the kitchen, having people like you mentioned, Guillermo and Freddie and people like that who are so dedicated and so hardworking that then I'm able to be here at, you know, at 3:30 on a Tuesday.
Yeah, I mean, just quick segue about that. We right now, I would say, right now in this place and time, probably have the first staff, I think, that I can't think of a person who isn't completely committed to what we're doing.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had almost that since we opened, but I think this may very well be the first time where I can't think of anyone that their first, you know, their first reason for being there is because they get it.
Right.
And that's really nice.
It is.
You know, talent and everything else aside.
Yeah. Amazing.
I think that's very cool.
All around, front of the house, back of the house, everybody.
It's almost better than family.
I mean, the dishwasher.
it's better than my family. Yeah.
One of the dishwashers comes in on his day off just to
clean the hood.
Yeah.
And no, I mean, I certainly never asked him. I don't believe Laura did. So he just shows up to do it because he cares that the kitchen is in good shape.
Yeah.
And he missed a couple of weeks, and boy, was he pissed when he got back at the condition of the hood.
Let everybody know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you care to see
a really clean hood.
Yeah, a really clean hood. Or see the Applewood family in action and maybe even become, you know, part of the family, stop by in Park Slope. You're not going to miss it. Corner 7th and 11th, you'll know which house it is. Because it is the second home to a lot of people. And just wanted to thank David and Laura so much again for being on.
Thanks for inviting us.
Yeah,
thanks
and creating a place for people to grow and enjoy themselves with right-minded food.
Thank you, Michael. Excellent.
You're welcome. And I want to thank our sponsor, Whole Foods Market, our producer, Jack Inslee, our engineer, Nat Wiener. I'm Michael Harlan Turkel. You've been listening to The Food Scene on Heritage Radio Network. I'll see you next Tuesday at 3:00.